Holy Gospel is recorded for us in the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Dear Christian friends and friends of Shoreland High School, Wikipedia describes a watermark this way. A watermark is a recognizable image or pattern in paper that appears as various shades of lightness and darkness when viewed by transmitted light or when viewed by reflected light atop a dark background. It's caused by thickness or density variations in the paper. You find watermarks, don't you, on things like currency, postage, other important documents. Watermarks are important for two things. First of all, they are an identifying marker. They identify things. And secondly, they're used nowadays to discourage counterfeiting. You can find a watermark on a $20 bill, hold it up sometime and look for it. If you don't find it, you better throw it away. Baptism puts a watermark on us. It identifies us as regenerated and renewed children of God. But it only does so because baptism first put its watermark on Jesus. We are here today to celebrate the baptism of the Lord. And it is important for us not to underestimate this monumental event in the life of Jesus. It is for him a watershed moment. What happens here is going to find its completion on Good Friday on a cross. We are watermarked. The Jewish rite of baptizing was at first a self-administered ritual. People oftentimes, when they wanted to present gifts or tributes at the temple, would go into a bath. They would go in unclean on one side, and they would wash themselves off and come out the other side of the bath cleansed. It was also used for cleansing items like cups or washers or saucers for ceremonial usage. The idea of it, though, was it was self-administered. And what John the Baptizer was doing down at the Jordan River caught the attention of people because he was the one who was administering baptism. He was calling people to repentance, calling them to recognize their own sin. In whatever walk of life it was, and to admit it, and to confess it, and to turn away from it and turn to God in repentance. He spoke in the power of Elijah, and he spoke the message of Ezekiel, who said, "The Lord says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn! Turn from your evil ways." John administered a baptism, a washing, for the forgiveness of sins, or we can say, into the forgiveness of sins, and he would pronounce a person cleansed and forgiven through that ritual and rite. And then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John was expecting him because after all, his work was that of the forerunner, announcing Jesus' coming. And now God made it clear to him that Jesus was in his presence. But John was confused by Jesus' request, "I've come, John, to be baptized by you." And every one of us, I guess, if we were in John's sandals, would ask the same question, why? Why should a sinless Son of God need baptism for the forgiveness of sins? Well, the first red-letter words in your Bible, in the book of Matthew, are Jesus' answer to that important question. Jesus said, "Let it be so now, for it is proper to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus made it clear, "I've come to fulfill all righteousness. I have come to keep every matter of God's demand and God's law. I want nothing left undone, and I want no one to despise this blessing of baptism." So John carried it out. Jesus went into the water, and water was applied to him, like in our baptism this morning. And Jesus, or John, announced to the world that the Messiah was here. And what about Jesus? The sinless one became the sinner. He identifies himself with us, and he puts himself under the mantle of God's wrath for sin. And at that moment, God marked Jesus as the one who would receive the furious judgment of his wrath for our sins. The watermark was a mark for Jesus to say he is now the substitute for all of humanity. And this is simply a reflection of the words of Jeremiah, who said, "This is the name by which he would be called, the Lord, our righteousness." But don't let that ordinary fool you. He walks into the water and passively receives baptism, and in doing nothing, he accomplishes everything for you and me. He begins a ministry the same way he's going to end it, obedient to the will of his Father. He stands in our place because we could not be obedient. We could not fulfill the demands of God's law. And if not for Jesus receiving the watermark, we would be marked with the stain of mortality and the stench of death. But in his baptism, Jesus takes our place, and now it belongs to him. Watermarked by Christ's coming, do you understand all that that means for you? St. Paul in Romans chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 2 teaches us that something amazing happens in baptism. That when we were baptized, we were buried, or we were baptized into the death of Jesus, where he paid the full penalty for our sins by enduring that wrath of God for us. And since our sins are now buried and washed and hidden from the sight of God, in baptism we are also given new life, raised by the Spirit in the power of the Spirit. And in all of that, we realize our passive role, don't we? We could do nothing. God did it all for us. And that's the amazement of baptism, when you watch a baby be baptized and realize that God is doing all of the work and bringing all of the blessings, gifts that we don't deserve, but that he gives us purely out of grace and love. We are watermarked by Christ's coming today, and Christ-marked and Spirit-marked as his living and forgiven children, no longer marked by the stain of sin. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." I've often wondered who heard that. Was it just Jesus? Was it Jesus and John? Was it everybody that was gathered there? Scripture is somewhat silent on that, so I guess we should really just focus on what those words are all about. The Father loves his Son, and he's pleased with his life up to this point, and he's pleased with the commitment that Jesus has made to be our Savior, our Messiah. He is pleased because Jesus is going to carry out all of his perfectly laid plans that he put together in eternity, to see to it that for eternity, you and I can spend our time in fellowship with him. What a marvelous act this baptism is. What a powerful testimony to us. The Father puts his seal on this sacrament, and he did the same for you and for me at ours. There he said, "You are my son. You are my daughter. And with you I am well pleased. I am well pleased that you have been healed by the Son's stripes. I am pleased to have you as members of my family." And like a loving father, he comes and he talks to us about this all of the time in his word and sacraments, because quite frankly, you and I know a little bit about a watermark. It's not so easily seen. And sometimes there are times when we just don't really truly understand our identity, and it gets lost on us. We oftentimes feel like counterfeit children, don't we? We too easily succumb to our pet sins. We don't take our Christian life, our Christian faith, seriously at all times. We fail to trust the plans that God has put into place for our lives. We neglect the one thing that's needful. We struggle and complain when he asks us to bear crosses. Oh, in our lives as children, sometimes it's so hard to see. Sometimes we're so filled with guilt that we can't feel forgiven. Sometimes we feel so lonely that we fail to listen to the voice of the Father calling us back to him. Sometimes we sit and wait for a God to open up the heavens and come down and talk to us, when all the while he is speaking loudly through his word. Yeah, sometimes we don't feel like we have that watermark on us. But remember what God did for you in baptism. And then listen to that voice when he says that he will never turn away those who come to him in humble repentance. Listen to him as he says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your understanding." Listen to him when he says, "Cast all your anxiety on me because I care for you." Doesn't your baptism tell you all of this? Doesn't it tell you that he's pleased with you because what of Jesus has done for you? Watermarked by the Father and watermarked by the Spirit's anointing. At that moment, heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And for Jesus, that meant that the Holy Spirit poured out all of the gifts into him that he would use to bring about our salvation. It was a fulfillment of the promise of Isaiah that all these gifts would be his, perfectly given, perfectly executed. And in the power of the Spirit, he would face that devil. He would leave this Jordan River and face the devil in the wilderness. And he would fight him down, and he would fight him down until the cross. But just as the Spirit anointed Jesus at his baptism, so he anoints us too. He works faith in us and frees us from the fear of death. He renews and he changes our hearts. And along with that, he connects us together into this wonderful living organism called the Holy Christian Church. And to each and every one of us, at our baptisms, the Spirit pours out his blessings and gives us talents and gifts that we can use for the good and the welfare of this holy Christian church. Don't let that little bit of washing of water over the head fool you. Look at all of the things that God accomplishes in that simple little task. It marks you as his child for life. And it endows you with the active and energetic means of being a member of his family, who go out and do things for the good of God's people and for the glory of God. It empowers you to live a life of love and service to others. The love of Christ is poured into you at baptism so that you can pour that love out in an attitude of kindness and forgiveness toward each other. And the peace of patience of Christ was poured into you at your baptism so that you can demonstrate your love for God with a life of patience and peace towards others too. And it also makes us partners in the gospel. We have an opportunity and a task to use our baptismal grace to share the good news of God to all the world. And especially on a day like today, we think about the task of Christian education. You and I have a wonderful opportunity as a school and federation congregations to teach our students what it means to bear the mark of Christ in their lives. And on your end, you have been given the gift of prayer and the gift of wealth to join with all sorts of other congregations who see the same things and understand the mark of Christ and carrying out that ministry for the good of our young people so that they can go out and let their lives reflect the mark that God has given to them. It's a mark we not only have, it's a watermark that we want to share. Baptism made it clear to Jesus what his ministry was. Let us be thankful that he fulfilled all righteousness for us so that we can enjoy heaven someday. And let our baptism make it clear to us what our ministry is. To wear the watermark of Christ who has come, the watermark of the Father who is pleased with us, the watermark of the Spirit who equips us to share the life that he has worked in us. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.